Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Let's go right now to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. And we welcome on Jason Lloyd, who joins us usually live and in studio on Wednesdays, but this has been a little bit different. And Jason Lloyd
yawning?
Joins us. Did you just
He's
yawn,
yawning.
Jason?
Huh? What?
Did
no.
you just yawn?
What are you talking about?
Did you do that on purpose?
Why would I do that on purpose, Ken?
Because everybody wants to mess with me right now, so I figured that you might. He did you do that on purpose? Please tell me you
yes,
did it.
Yes, I was listening
Thank
to last
God.
Segment. I turned it on last segment.
Jason, by Jason Lloyd on Twitter. Hello, Jason. How are you doing in your bunker?
Hi, gentlemen. I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing just wonderful. It's great to hear your voice right now. Well, I might got to have some fun right now during this time. Brian Windhorst. Put out a tweet. Brian Windhorst put out a tweet about a half hour ago about the Chinese Basketball Association. They're going to wait until May. They want to wait until May before they start basketball again. That's about a four-month layoff right there for them. Is that maybe a bit of a trial balloon for the NBA to figure out when they would bring it back? Because if I'm not mistaken, March, April, May, June, say that's being generous, June, maybe July 1st. Do they have a postseason in July then, Jason? What do we do here?
Yeah, I do think that's probably what we're looking at right now. You know, Governor DeWine talked to Joe Varden for a story last week, and Mike said if we're playing baseball in July, he thinks that's a good thing. And that kind of stopped me in my tracks when he said that, because I had been kind of thinking June. And now after he said that, now I'm thinking July for all sports. They're all copycats. As soon as one comes back, they're all going to sort of align, and they're all going to sort of come back at the same time. And we may be in a situation where even in July they're coming back without fans. I don't know, although, you know, the recent developments and what's been said the last 24 or 48 hours, I just don't know. But the thought before that was that even when sports return, it could return without fans. But I would be surprised at this point if we're doing anything before July.
Well, that leads me to another question here, Jason, because you just said, you know, they follow the leader on these type of things. Trying to follow some trends of what's going on, you know, I'm not going to say anything that I feel might be irresponsible or anything like that. We're trying to look for some encouraging news. We know that we're still in the upswing here, so it's going to be a minute before we start to go down. With that all being put out there, could we find some hesitancy out of these organizations to jump out and say, we're playing baseball, we're playing basketball, we're doing this, we're doing that, because they're afraid if something bad were to happen, now all of a sudden they look very terrible.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. You know, and I, you know, talking about Brian again, one of my a really dear friend of mine, I thought he was fabulous a couple of weeks back now on Get Up, where he said, you want to be on the right side of history on this.
Yep.
And you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, what are the history books going to say? You don't want to be the commissioner that brought this back too soon. And then you have to go through this all over again. And not to minimize at all what we're going through, because I understand this may sound like a terrible comparison, but it's the same thing with sports injuries. And guys say all the time, you don't want to come back too soon because you got to shut them down and delay it even longer. Now take that to a national tragedy level of if you restart this too soon, and this thing picks up all over again, now you're really in a mess. So I think there's absolutely a sense of we have to be very careful with this. The worst thing you can, now that everything is shut down, the worst thing you can do is start back up too soon. and then you have to go through this all over again. I think they're very sensitive to that.
Jason Lloyd joining us on the hotline. One thing that I continue to try to bring up, and I hate doing it, we want to talk about live sports, but you saw the news overnight. Karl Anthony Towns' mom diagnosed with the virus. She's on a ventilator. He's very worried. He put out there an emotional, you know, heart-wrenching post about that. You know, none of us are actually asking the players. We're just thinking about the bottom line and money. What happens when these leagues want to resume action and some players are like, wait a second, we don't know enough about this virus. There could be a second wave. What if we get it? What if a whole team has to be quarantined during the postseason? What, we're going to start and stop again? Are we positive we get this year, you know, under our belt?
I think that they will get, I think they will finish the year. There's too much money at stake. I do think that barring something unforeseen, I don't know exactly the form or shape it's going to take yet. It could be playing finals games at an empty arena or at an empty practice facility. I don't know. But I do think that they're going to finish it. But you bring up
a good
point.
Jay, how can they – sorry to cut you off. How can they finish it if we're – it's not like they're eradicating the coronavirus. There's been no talk of it just being gone. You know, there's some countries where they're worried about a second wave. Why are we assuming that once it's gone over the next month, then it's that's the end of this virus? Like, I am curious how they're acting. These leagues are acting like they know how this is going to play out. How could they possibly know when physicians don't know?
You're right. We don't know. And that's why I said, like, I think if the league does return, it'll return without fans. That wouldn't surprise me at all. If we're playing baseball games in empty stadiums and NBA games in empty arenas. And that gets to the other point. You know, Larry Nance said that if the games are going to continue, he almost wasn't going to go on that road trip. He was considering not going on that road trip because Larry has Crohn's disease, and that makes him more susceptible to this. And Joe Ingles did a podcast yesterday where he's talking about the health concerns of his son and that if the league was going to keep playing, he was not going to play. So I do think that you could see some of that, particularly on some of these teams, you know, that the Cavs are – position that the Cavs are in, where they're not going anywhere. They have no hopes of winning the championship. It's going to be an interesting conversation to have with some players. Not all. Some players, I think, will be like, yeah, let's go. Let's roll the balls out and let's go. But I do think that there's going to be a select few players, and maybe more than that, that aren't so sure that when we restart that they're on board with that, and they may have some tough conversations. And you may see guys sit out and not play. Depending on, again, the timing on everything. And we're speculating. It's all hypothetical. We don't know for sure. But I just know I am not expecting to see a live sporting event before July. And maybe that's even being a little bit optimistic. And I'm not sure that fans will be there even when we do go.
Jason Lloyd joining us on the show. Yeah, do you think that there might be some hesitancy from the fans? Like, there might be a first, and we're talking about waves here, there might be some people that just want to get out, but I don't know if it's going to affect overall attendance in a lot of ways, because there might be still people going, you know, I'm reading reports, I'm not going back out until I'm absolutely sure about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I had that conversation with Jonathan Peterlin's last week, and Jonathan's point was, like, he doesn't think sports are going to come back the way that they were before. I disagree. I think they will, but it could be a long time before we get to that point. I don't think that this will change the way we view sports and embrace sports and devour sports in this country. But it absolutely, I think the teams are going to take a beating at the gate if and when they ever do open. I think it is going to be a slow build, and there are going to be a lot of people that say, I'm not going to go sit around 20,000 people or 30,000 people or at a Browns game 60,000 people. It's just changed. It's amazing to me how quickly and how instantly it has changed the way that we view mass gatherings and large crowds. But I do think eventually we will get there. I think it's just going to take a long time to do it.
Do you think, Jason Lloyd joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, I brought this up yesterday and earlier in the show, do you think that we are talking about this when it comes to the Cleveland Indians in 2022 and maybe even 2023, where they go back and they go, look, we didn't get to start the season on time. We had a very short season back in 2020. We are a ticket-driven organization. We did not get the ticket revenue, and we are still feeling the after effects on that on our payroll because of it.
I don't know if it'll last that. It'll. I think it absolutely 100% will impact next year. Yes. And by next year, I mean 2021. I don't know if 22 and 23, I don't know that I would go that far, but I absolutely, I think there's going to be a carryover effect. I've said that before. You know, it's not coincidence to me that when they take the playoff to game seven of the World Series, and then Edwin Encarnacion shows up the next year in free agency, and then when they get one home playoff game, they burn the payroll. Like, there's a correlation there, and a lot of it has to do with gate receipts and home dates and the extra money, the extra revenue that you make off home playoff games. Well, now, you know, flip it and go the other way with it, the fact that, you know, they weren't going to do well at the gate anyway. You know, they hadn't even sold out opening day yet before all of this started. You know this is going to have an impact if and when the fans are allowed to return. You know absolutely this is going to have a huge impact on the gates. Yeah, I think this will significantly impact what they're able to do in 2021. Beyond that, I'm not enough of an economist to say.
Jason Lloyd with us on the hotline. So the talk overnight, Jeff Passan reporting with ESPN that, boy, they could be talking about two doubleheaders a week in Major League Baseball when they resume in either June or, who knows, maybe July. They could be talking about the New York Yankees and places where coronavirus has been hitting hard, that they could start their season in Arizona, and that the postseason could stretch well into November, where there will be only neutral site games because of how cold the weather might be. And we're talking for all the teams in Major League Baseball. Do you think that is a legitimate conclusion as they try to get as many games as they possibly can in?
The doubleheaders make a lot of sense. I've said that for a few weeks now, that, you know, if baseball is really adamant about trying to play as many games as possible, well, then you're going to have to play Sunday doubleheaders. The players are going to hate it, particularly if you're doing it every week. They don't like doubleheaders, but, you know, it's the reality. If you want your money, if you want to cash your checks, you got to play the games. So I don't see any way, if you're starting in July, I don't see how you're going to play a 162-game season. That's just unrealistic to me. I don't like the idea of neutral site games. And again, it's all about money. It's all driven by money. And I get it, especially now, you know, as we talk about all the businesses that are shuttering and trying to restart the economy. Well, it's the same thing for these owners. It's all about the dollar. I would hate to see neutral site World Series games. I think that's awful. Having been to a Super Bowl, it's stale. You know, that's the whole feeling. You don't really have true fans there. What I love about the World Series, what I love about the NBA Finals, is the electricity in the crowd. And, again, we're under the assumption that, you know, we'll be back to normal and fans will be in the stands and whatever by, you know, November. But if there's no fans there, it doesn't matter. You know, if that's how long we have to go without fans in the stands, then play it forever. It's fine. Play it to November and play it at a neutral site. But if we have reached the point where fans can be there and you can fill a stadium again, I would hate to see a World Series game be at a neutral site. That doesn't excite me at all. But I get it. I understand why they would do it for the cash purposes of it.
All right, Jason, if you were listening to us and you heard me yawn during the Grant Paulson interview, would you make a run at Trent Williams, knowing his age situation, how many years it's been since he's been fully healthy, and what you'd have to trade to get him and the money you'd have to spend?
No, that doesn't interest me anymore. I would like to see them pursue a left tackle at 10. To me, there's only a couple of positions where you have to be high to get the guy you want. You know, defensive end, edge rush, quarterback, left tackle. If to get a franchise guy, you have to be drafting in the top 10. And if the hope is, and I know this is not even dumb, I've said this before, if the hope is that the Browns aren't going to be continuing to draft in the top 10, now's the time to fire that bullet and to take that chance, because ideally you're not going to be in this position again to go get a franchise type left tackle. If you get Trent Williams for 2 years, okay, fine. Where are you going to be 2 years from now when you're most likely, hopefully, optimistically, not going to be in a position to be able to replace him? Now's your opportunity to be able to replace him. Now's your chance to go. You know, it's to me, it's a little bit easier. I mean, you can find a running back anywhere. You can find a wide receiver later on. You can find even linebackers you can find a little bit later on. But those three positions, edge rush, left tackle, and quarterback, now's the time to strike when you're sitting where they are. And I don't care if it's the third or the fourth tackle to come off the board. So what? That's just the matter of timing and how things fall. This is a really good year for tackles. So, you know, if the two guys that go ahead of them happen to stay in school one more year and come out next year. They came out last year. I don't get into that too much. If it's a guy there that you like, if you know that you can get a guy that you like there, stay there and take your guy who, you know, ideally would be your left tackle for the next 10, 15 years. But the idea of Trent Williams at this point, you know, had they not gotten Jack Conklin, maybe we could have that conversation. But just now that they've got Conklin here and there's one down and one to go, I personally would love to see him do it in the draft and not through a trade or free agency.
Jason, real quick, would you take Cam?
No, because
thank you.
This is about Baker. 2020 is about Baker. You have to know definitively what you have at the end of the year in Baker Mayfield. I've said that before. I was on with Dustin, and I tried. He had me all tied in knots. I wasn't getting the point across the way I was trying to. I love the Case Keenum signing because he's a competent backup quarterback. He can push Baker. He's another set of experienced eyes in the room. But he's not a guy that if Baker plays two or three bad games, you're going to go, oh, put Case Keenum in. You know, I don't think that's good for anybody. I don't think that's good for the locker room. I don't think it's good for fans. I don't think it's good for anybody. And that's, you would 1,000% have that if Cam Newton were here. If Baker has two bad games, it's going to be inside and outside the locker room, open, play Cam. Put Cam in, play Cam. I don't want anything to do with that. I want to know definitively by December 2020 or January, yep, February, or whenever this season ends, depending on when we start, whenever the season ends, I want to know if Baker Mayfield is a franchise quarterback for this team. And you're not going to know that if you've got Jameis Winston or a Cam Newton lingering and hovering over him. You have to know. You have to know. Like, we thought we knew at this time a year ago. He had such a horrible year last year. All the excuses are gone. There's no more excuses. You know, I've said all along, I thought last year the dysfunction and the lack of discipline within the coaching staff had a huge impact on what he was doing and a lot of the problems, but there are no more excuses. You have to know definitively what you have.
Jason, thank you very much for the hot times and for agreeing with me. All the best.
That doesn't happen very often.
It's true. Jason, thank you, buddy.
All right, see you guys.
The great Jason Lloyd on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll break that down. We'll discuss Cam, whether or not you really want him, and Trent Williams. According to Grant Paulson, he has two or three good years left in him. Does that change your opinion? It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.